We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Everyone, welcome to another episode of Dice It Up. Unfortunately, I ran off Dano. Dano said he's tired of me this week. He needed a break. No, I'm kidding. He's just working very hard at his job, and we appreciate him for that. But Calvin is here to fill in. Calvin, thanks so much for joining me. Appreciate you being here, fam, on such short notice.
Yeah, thank you for having me on again. I feel like I keep pinch hitting. It's so fun. This is like my third time in a row being on here. I pinch hit for Ice at one point. Now I pinch hit for Dana. So it's a blast.
I love it. Well, listen, being an overseas hooper, it's important to me that we cover other overseas hoopers. I know that we love college basketball, but it's also important to reach out to those who have played and then are playing professionally overseas. So for our first overseas guest, we have my girl, Victoria Harris, here. I met Victoria while I was playing overseas in Greece, and we were playing against each other in that league. She graduated from Rutgers, had a great career at Rutgers, and now is in her second year overseas. So, Vicky, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So where are you at right now, and what part of the season are you in?
Right now, I'm in Strasbourg, France. I'm playing in the second league in France. So like LF2, and right now we're in the second part of the season, well, like the second half, I guess. So, you know, playing everybody twice, that's where we are right now.
Okay, nice. And how's it going?
So far, so good. We're 6-5.
Okay.
Yeah, we're 6-5. I think we have a lot of things to improve. We have always room for improvement, but we're doing good so far.
And Victoria, you play, we can see your shirt. You played at Rutgers, obviously, I think up to 2019, right? And so, like I said, I hopped on here short notice. I didn't have time to really look at kind of your journey since then. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners aren't familiar too. So can you kind of catch us up, like, you know, not just where you are now, but what's your journey been like since you left Rutgers, you know, your last 4 years in your basketball career, basically. And what was that like kind of going from college to overseas, and what are the similarities and differences been?
Okay. Yeah. So after college, what was that, 2019? I went straight to, I played in Heidelberg, Germany, in their first league. And our season was cut a little short during playoffs. Like, we were just about to start playoffs when COVID started. So they shut the season down, and I came home. And I think there was a lot of uncertainty within basketball that year. So I just decided to stay home instead of going back overseas. So from 2020 to 2021, I stayed home, explored other areas of my career that I would be interested in post-basketball. So that was cool to learn more about myself outside of the court. And then after that, I went to Greece. And now I'm here in France.
Well, first of all, you played in some really cool countries like Germany, Greece, France. I started my career in Germany too, and then went to Greece midway through the year before I came across you. What country has been your favorite to experience? And then I'll ask you about your favorite league to play in, because I know that's a wholly different.
Yeah. I think Greece has been my favorite to experience because Greek culture is very lively.
Yeah.
I was on an island that was like one of the main islands. So yeah, I mean, just imagine living on an island all year round. Great weather, great food, great people. So I think Greece has been my favorite so far. I think it means of playing, I still don't know.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You brought up food though. So guys, what's been your favorite food? Is there some favorite food that you've tried in your journey so far?
You know, while I was in Greece, I thought I was getting tired of Greek food, and then I left.
Mm-hmm.
I miss food. I miss like a simple Greek salad. It doesn't hit the same outside of Greek.
Oh my gosh, no. I fell in love with Greek salad and like feta cheese. Like, I never understood the obsession everybody else had with it until you're in Greece, and it's like real cheese. My favorite meal easy was fried calamari and Greek salad. Like, I would once a week get that. And again, I was on an island too, just different island than where you were. And so it was 100% fresh all year round. And I literally would just sit like both sides sometimes and just get that same meal once a week. That was like my comfort food when I felt like, okay, I might have had a bad day. I need something good that's going to make me smile. I'm going to get fried calamari and Greek salad.
Yeah, calamari is definitely fire.
Yeah. Tell us again the name of the island that you were on in Greece.
I was on the island of Crete.
Yeah. Okay, so for those who don't know on the map, and I'm sure you're all going to go now to a global map and you're going to look it up, but Vic was on the island that is in between Europe and Africa, like right above Egypt. And so it's a huge island. It's beautiful. One of the experiences that I had going to play your team was taking a boat overnight. So yes. So you'd leave from Athens. So we were in Lefkada. So we drive 5 hours to Athens. And then from Athens, it's right on the water. So you then take a boat overnight to go play Hanya, which was your team on the island, which I thought was a cool experience. Like, some people complain because who wants to be on a boat all night and you're getting seasick? And that's a real thing that happens. But it was also a very cool overseas trip to have where, you know, some people travel by car and then you're like, let's hop on a boat overnight and go play.
Yeah. It's definitely cool to take one team with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like we're supposed to be asking Victoria the questions, but I got to ask you a question now. So did they have a big home court advantage because everyone had to go on this boat and get seasick the night before?
1,000%. 1,000%. And it was freezing there. Like, because it's literally on an island surrounded by water and you can feel the water. So I felt like the temperature between that and Athens was like 20 degrees less. Like, the gym was also freezing, which I'm sure you experienced because that was your home court. So I actually can't imagine.
Yeah, definitely home court advantage for certain, for every team.
Yeah. What was your fan experience like, though, in the places that you've been in terms of the fans that were at home? Were they, very, I guess, like, authentic with you guys? Did they recognize you off the court? Like, did you get free meals at certain restaurants? Like, how was that experience?
I think fan experience, there's consistency of having fan experience, I guess, in the leagues that I've played in where it's very packed, but the gyms are kind of smaller. So it's very packed, very lively, a lot of yelling, of course. I think the gym I play in now has been like the smallest gym I played in, so it gets very, very loud. Very loud. But I like the atmosphere though. It's a good atmosphere. Right now the community I play in is like very community based, and it's an organization that is more family oriented, I guess. So there's like little babies playing up to like, you know, my age, and then we have a professional men's team. So it gets very packed in there, very lively. So I like the atmosphere. My favorite atmosphere, though, I wouldn't say favorite, but the craziest atmosphere was playing Panathinaikos.
Oh, my gosh. That's literally what I was going to say. It's different. Calvin, when I say it's different, it's different. I'm trying to think, like, it was like a dungeon you were playing in. Like yeah. The gym was underground. And so like the top part had lights. It was a little darker in there. I'm not lying. People were in the stands smoking weed. Like easily smelled it as I'm on the court making my little layup line. Like, bro, somebody is really high in here. It's different. It's a different experience for sure. And that was one of my first games overseas. That was like my second game.
So you were like, oh, is it all like this?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, my, everybody high at every game? Jeez, what's going on here? But no, yeah. Crazy experience that was Panathinaikos. And, you know, it's one of the oldest clubs, like, globally in the world. And so when you're there, like, it's also a historic feeling, too, that you just know, like, there have been a lot of really good hoopers that have come through here and played.
Thanks.
Yeah, Panathinaikos is definitely different. I'm glad you mentioned that because that was going to be my little overseas story about, like, playing in the Greek League.
Yeah, they were crazy there, but then, you know, we played them for the cup games, like the top four cup games, and yeah. They came to Hania, and I'm not thinking they're all going to travel to Hania. Like, our gym was packed of just Panathinaikos fans.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely travel well. It's really cool. That's the thing about Greek culture, though. You know, is like, over there, also, basketball is really big. I didn't know that so many people gambled on our games. That's not a common thing. Like, everybody's not Dano overseas, like, you know, or here where they're constantly betting on college games. Like, over there, they are legitimately betting on our games. Like, it is a serious thing.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to get into that. I'm gonna have to get Dano. We're gonna have to start getting into that.
I'm telling you, it was good times. What about places you've been able to travel to? You know, I know we have a lot of off weeks or bye weeks and things like that. Are there some cool places that you've been able to visit and just kind of be a tourist?
So I recently went to London.
Nice.
A little break. I went to London with one of my old teammates, and that was pretty surreal because I love London culture. I love the palace and the royal family. Love that stuff. It was pretty cool going to London. I think my touristy moment was when I went to Budapest. I was definitely acting like a tourist in Budapest. The food in Budapest is amazing. So, yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, you guys have talked a little bit, too, about how, like, you two, I think your college careers overlapped and you played against each other in Greece. But, like, how often, Victoria, have you gotten a chance to connect with other Americans who either maybe you knew beforehand or you didn't, or who you played with or against in college or some other level? Is that a common thing over there?
Yeah. Definitely. I think it depends more so on the league you're in, but the leagues I've played in, usually there's at least one American on a team, one or two Americans. This is the first time I've been on a team where I'm the only American. So it's been an awesome transition and in a sense of really having to be immersed in the culture because no one really spoke English at first. But yeah, I get to know Americans. I try to, sometimes it's not awkward, you know, cause it's like, just because you're American doesn't necessarily mean I know you or like I have to talk to you, but,
right.
It's cool when we do have those connections, like we go outside of our box to talk to each other and just talking English.
Yeah. You brought up English. Like, okay, this is a question I always want to ask overseas hoop, and I'm sure like Ice would have insight on this too, but like, when you go overseas and you put all of these people who speak different languages and maybe some are bilingual or whatever, but not everyone is all speaking the same language on the same team with the coaching staff or the players. Like, what's it like in terms of communication and play calls and defense and stuff where, like, you know, over here, like everybody knows, you know, screen right. But, you know, like when you have that language barrier, what's that like?
Oh, I'm answering. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
What is it like? I think, honestly, sometimes we don't get enough credit as to how smart you really have to be. Because you have to be very intelligent to be able to understand somebody who doesn't speak English as their first language during a game and, you know, produce on the court exactly what they said. But yeah, if you are lucky to have a coach who speaks English, that's really great. But sometimes you don't have a coach that speaks English. And they'll try to, but hopefully your teammate speaks English. It's definitely giving love in basketball. You know, one scene. When So now I asked the teammate, and she's like, "Oh, it doesn't matter. Like, all she said was, let's give you the ball."
Right.
That's really true. And I didn't experience that until this season because my coach speaks English, but it's not his first language. And a lot of my teammates, they speak English too, but it's not their first language. So you definitely have to pay attention to details, focus a lot more.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think my first coach in Germany did not speak a lick of English. Like, all he knew was no. But our assistant coach spoke full German, and then he was American. Like, dude was from Baltimore. So he easily could translate to us, like, whatever else it was. And honestly, everybody else on the team spoke English. Like, we had a player that was from the Netherlands, a couple of players that were from Italy, but that had played at Georgia Tech. So, like, most of us spoke English. Like, it was only a couple of girls who really, like, German was their main language. And so when the coach spoke German to them, like, it was fine. But then he'd have to do – he couldn't speak English anyway, so we'd have to translate. So everybody was always on the same page. I feel like play calls, Calvin, like, you just got to name them simple things. Like, they have to be simple, universal terms. Like, we call it, like, we had a play called strong. Then we had a play called weak. You know, like, you had a play called – circle, right? And then, like, hand motions also help too. Like, yeah. I'm big on that. I learned that in college when you play, you know, in the carrier dome, or like you play in Rutgers, like, things are loud, you can't hear. So I was always a big, like, bro, we're running circle, okay, then we're doing this, like, just twirl it then. Yeah, there's no point in me saying circle and you not being able to hear me. My Greek team, though, everybody spoke English. There's only two sisters who they understood English but just didn't speak it, but they would learn as the season went on. And then because, like, Greek is their first language, I just learned, like, the trick words. So I know, like, Ella in Greek means, like, to come, or it means, like, to pass. So if I felt like, Ella, Ella, like, I would, you know, sometimes I would make sure they know. Because if I'm like, hey, come, or, like, slide left, they're not translating quick enough, you know?
Yeah.
So I also feel like as an American, too, like, what you mean by being smart, you got to go over there and also, like, care about the culture. Like, actually care about immersing yourself and, like, learning certain words. Let me ask you, since you've been in three countries with three different languages, what language do you feel like you know the most?
French.
Oh, okay. Is it because it's easier?
Well, I have a background in Spanish, so I think, like, certain words kind of remind me of Spanish. So it's been, like, easier, not easy, but easier to understand things. I mean, this is the first time where I've really had to be around people who only speak French for most of the time. Whereas in Germany and Greece, they spoke English. Like, my coaches spoke English. Most of my teammates spoke English. So because in France, most of my teammates are French-speaking players, my coach speaks French most of the time. I do get translations by my assistant coach, but I just try to learn, you know, try to understand.
Yeah. How has it been for you and adjusting to the time difference? Like, is it easier to get there and then have the 6 hours back, or is it easier to come home and then have the 6 hours, like, ahead? Right? Yeah, ahead. Yeah, I think that's how it goes for us.
Going back to the States feels a lot faster, if that makes sense.
Traveling
here feels like forever.
Okay.
And, you know, adjusting to the time difference is hard. It's hard because I was getting adjusted, and then I went home for, like, a week during Christmas break, and I'm still trying to get adjusted back to that. But yeah, I think you just have to learn what works for you.
Yeah. That's nice. Okay. Let me know if you have any tricks, because I'm headed to Australia next week, and I think they're plus 16 hours ahead. Like, and I can't even fathom that in my brain that, like, y'all be calling me, I'll be like, oh, it's Wednesday here. And it's like the middle of the day, Tuesday. That's pretty cool. So what's your end goal for you, you know, as an overseas hooper? I feel like there are people who play forever. I feel like there are people who try to get to, like, the highest leagues. I feel like sometimes you just want to go to as many countries as you can because you get to explore and do it for free. What do you feel like your end goal is as an overseas hooper?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
Thank you. Kind of my job.
Yeah. My end goal? Ooh. I don't really have one. I'll be lying if I said I did. I think that basketball has just opened so many doors for me over the years that I keep going as doors keep opening. And something that's important for me when I choose a team is, am I going to be in an isolated area or do I have the chance to gain more experiences? So on top of playing basketball, I think I just want continue to gain more experiences. I guess not really end goal. Make more money. I don't really truly have an end goal. But yeah, I'll know when I'll be done playing basketball when like something else seeks my attention.
Yeah. Yeah. What about the level of importance that you get as an import player overseas? I think, you know, it's twofold, right? Like one, it's like the love and basketball scene where it's like, hey, they said, give the ball to her every time if she's open. And then the other thing is also like when things don't go well, sometimes you're the first person people look at because you're expected to be, you know, the best player. Like how has that experience been for you, especially as a post player? I think it's different as a post player overseas than as the guard. Like we come a dime a dozen. Post players over there are like freaking gold.
Oh, thanks.
Yes, I wish you were on my team.
it definitely comes with pressure. What's the thing that you make diamonds with pressure, whatever, that's not even important, but it's definitely pressure. But you know, you have to be willing to step up to the plate. Because again, you get praise when things are going good, but when things aren't going good, you also like your fingers pointed at you most of the time. So there's good, there's bad. Hopefully the good outweighs the bad, but sometimes that pressure does get to you, especially when your team isn't doing well. Because even though you are scoring and your stats, you know, matter to you, if your team isn't winning, that doesn't matter.
Right.
So yeah. Hope that answered the question.
No, it definitely answered the point. Yeah, I just know it's a lot of pressure, especially on post players, because you don't see, you know, a ton of size or like back to the basket post players overseas. And so when you get one, normally it offsets, you know, the rest of the team, and it makes you different, your team different than other teams in the conference who don't have that. I still love like the European style of play, but that's because I'm a guard, you know, so it easily translates to like, you know, playing five out and like having people who are easily interchangeable. But it's always a big difference when the teams that have a back-to-back post player, it's always like, yeah, we can't really guard you. It's fine. We're going to hope we miss layups. It's terrible, Calvin. It really is. It's terrible.
Well, I just need to know, when you two played, who won? Do either of you even remember?
I remember the game. Hold on. I remember the game we lost because I had 8 turnovers. And I'm gonna be honest. I had 8 turnovers. We had just gotten a new coach. And so it was our first, we could talk about that all day, like coaching overseas. but we had just gotten a new coach, Mill, this season. So I was like moved to the point guard position. So I had a good game besides 8 turnovers. Toria played great because like it, you know, it was back to basket post player and we didn't have any size. I only remember the one game. I don't remember the second game. Do we win the second game?
I remember very vividly. Oh,
you remember the second game?
Because it was our first time going to La Plata, and I didn't realize the travel would be so long. Yes. Like, we had to take the overnight ferry, then we had to drive 6 hours, then we got to our hotel. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But that does not explain why we played so bad. we lost by, like, 25 points.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't even that bad.
So you each got each other once. That's good.
Yeah. Yep. And then we didn't see each other in playoffs. But I tell you what, and I don't lie, but this is the reason why I like Victoria so much, because you can lose a game by 20, 25 points and afterwards still see a familiar face and be happy you're seeing a familiar face.
Yeah.
You know, like overseas, I think you have to have a short-term memory in that, but you have to kind of remember like that you're there for the entire experience, not just basketball. I think with basketball, there comes so much. There's still politics over there. You're still an American. Like, there's still a level of pressure you have to perform with. There's still things overseas that just don't go right, like anything else. So yeah. When you see a familiar face after a game, like, you kind of forget very quickly, you know, that, like, you just got blown out. And you're like, yo, it's good to see you, fam. Like, how are you? You know? So that was a cool moment that we shared for sure. Because that's, yeah. I think that's a real thing overseas.
You made me think of a question because you brought up like the politics and the coaching overseas. And so I was just talking to someone the other day. We've been kind of following like a few of the WNBA players right now playing overseas. So like Ryan Howard, first season overseas. She wasn't like at the beginning of her season, we were like, yeah, like she's a baller. Why isn't she like the alpha dog on this team overseas? Like, you know, she is on the Dream. Like, this doesn't make sense. And now she is several months later. We're trying to figure, and we've seen that kind of arc with a few other players. And we're trying to figure out, like, are there some coaches who, when like a young American first comes in, they're like, all right, you know, we know you're a big shot in America, but you got to prove it here first. Like, you're not just going to step on the court, you know, from day one and like be the go-to, or are there other coaches who are like, oh, like you're an American, you know, right away give you the ball because, you know, we know you're a hooper, like you play in the highest league in the world. Like, is how does that work?
I think it's twofold. You know, I think, honestly, I think it depends on the position. You know, I think if an American post player comes over, because again, like posts are like gold, like I think sometimes they get more respect right away. Because they can dominate the game, I think a little bit easier, right? Like if you're a post player in WNBA, whether you play 1 year or 8 years, like you're respected everywhere. Same thing with being a guard, but I think it's just lesser because I think guards are a dime a dozen. And there are a ton of guards overseas that could easily come and play in WNBA and do well. Like there are a ton of guards that play in EuroLeague, that play in the Turkeys, in Spain and France in the highest leagues that could easily come over and switch out for an American guard and like give the same level of productivity. So I feel like that. But I also just feel like, you know, I think coaches overseas don't always have the background that American coaches do. Right. Like here, you're not going to find an American coach at a college or professional level who either hasn't played at that level or hasn't coached at that level extensively. I legitimately had a gym teacher as a coach in Greece that was just like the senior women's coach for, you know, a couple years. But like bro started out as the gym teacher, you know, and just like he had the most basketball knowledge on the island. So they were like, we got to make you the coach. You know, and then he ended up getting fired in our year because they had finished the season 0-7. And then we had started the season 0-4. And it was like, this is not good. But yeah, so I don't think you have to be as qualified in some countries and some levels overseas as you would in the States. In the States, like you're a gym teacher, you're a gym teacher. And then that, you know, and that's it. You're not moving up. I feel like.
Yeah. Is that your experience, Victoria?
I haven't been following her overseas, but I think it's definitely depends on what team you're playing for, what league you're playing for. Because if I'm playing on a league, or if I'm playing in a league where there's multiple Americans that are like really, really good, I can't just come on and, you know, expect my position to be given to me. I'm not saying that's her experience because I haven't followed, but I would not expect my position. Like if I'm playing with, you know, Ryan on her team or like Elizabeth Williams or, you know, WNBA players, I know where I stand, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm playing on a team in LF2 in France or, you know, in a German league, that's different because I'm the only American. I know that I was brought here. This is my job.
Yeah.
This is what I'm being paid to do. Whereas, you know, on a higher level, my role is to be a role player, you know? So I think it really does depends on the team you're on the league that you're playing in, as well as like your coaches. When I think about it, I really never looked into the backgrounds of my coaches.
Yeah, because they're kind of just coaches, you know, and like we're playing professionally. So you just expect that they have some, you know, some high level of expertise in basketball.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. Yeah. But I never really thought about that.
Got you. All right. Well, to round this off, we appreciate your time, but to round it off, I wanted to ask you what advice you have for some overseas hoopers that are, or maybe getting ready to go overseas for the first time, finishing their college season and they want to play overseas. What advice do you have for them on just how to make the best out of their experience and how to approach it?
My advice. I think first thing first, make sure you are in top shape, because You running. You're running. And keep in shape. I think also to know that you, from leaving college to playing professionally, this is your job. So same as, you know, working a 9-to-5, this is not your job. Whereas in college, you know, you may be able to get away with some things, but I think professionally, you just have to always keep in mind that you're getting paid to do this. So produce.
Yeah.
Perform, produce, especially game time. And yeah, have fun. Don't take basketball so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game. It should be fun. You know, still remain childlike in a sense to have fun, even though, you know, the pressure may sink in a little.
Yeah. I love that advice. Yeah. Same. It's always supposed to be fun.
Yeah. I tell everybody I fell in love with the game the most when I was overseas. And all of my however many years playing, like, the most I've ever loved the game of basketball is when I was overseas playing. And I was like, yeah, this is it. So I support it. You definitely got to have fun. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so happy we got you on the podcast. Thank you for all of your insight. We wish you the best of luck with the rest of your season. And I hope that we cross paths again. In case you want to hop over to Australia after your season ends, let me know.
What part of Australia are you going to?
I am going to Tasmania. So I'll be on the island, Tasmania, playing there. Yeah, where the Tasmanian devils are. That's all that anybody knows about Tasmania is the crazy animals.
That's the first thing that came to my mind, yeah.
That's what I keep getting, like, watch out for the animals. Like, okay, everybody just thinks, like a kangaroo is going to come and kick me in the head, but we'll see. But I'm excited for it. It's an island. From what I hear, like, my town is right on the water, so it's got really nice beaches. So I'm thankful that God keeps putting me on islands when I go overseas. Yeah, we love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm super excited for it. But yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for hopping on Dice It Up. Calvin, thanks so much for joining me and filling in for Dano. We love having you here. We'll see you guys next time on another episode of Dice It Up.
One, two, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.